We're doing a Masechet Tanit. We're up to the second chapter, the eighth Mishnah. And this Mishnah will focus on
a special work
called Megillat Tanit. In the period of the Second Temple, so the Jewish people, when they came back to rebuild the temple, so they had a lot of trouble. When they first came, so there were the Shomronim, the Kutim, who tried to disrupt the work, and they were partially successful for a time. They had enemies from within, they had enemies from without. And finally, when we gained sovereignty, it wasn't long-lived. So we had constant struggles. We had struggles from enemies who attacked, be it the Greeks, be it ultimately the Romans, be it problems from within, where there were Jews who were questioning the tradition. There were whole movements of Tzedukim and Baitusim, Sadducees, and they questioned the tradition of the rabbis. They wanted to interpret the Torah as they saw fit. And there were times where they threatened us from within. They threatened to overtake the temple. They threatened to overtake the Sanhedrin. And these battles, both the spiritual and the physical battles, were battles that were hard fought. And whenever they'd have a victory, so they'd celebrate that victory and they'd make that into a holiday. And it reached a point where they had holidays in every month, holidays of the times. And these holidays were recorded in a work called Megillat Ta'anit. When the temple was destroyed, so many of those victories were dashed. And so Megillas Tanis was abolished. All those holidays went into the annals of history. And
the annals
of history. Thank you. And the only thing that remained was Hanukkah and Purim. The Megillat Tanit was written over generations. Now, they added.
Are these holidays going to come back in the third temple?
No, they're not coming back.
No.
So the Mishnah says, Kol ha-katuv b'Megillat Ta'anit, whatever dates were written in Megillas Tanis, so sometimes they instituted it and they said, this is a day, we had such an important victory on this day, you don't fast on this day. Sometimes they said, we had such an important victory on this day, you don't eulogize anyone who passed away on this day. So anytime it says in Megillas Tanis, Delo le mispad, that we don't eulogize a person who passed away on this day, lefanav asur lacharav mutar. So then, not only is that day prohibited from eulogizing, the day beforehand is also prohibited, but the day afterwards is okay. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, and Rabbi Yossi, the halacha is like him almost very frequently, that's Rabbi Yossi bar Tachlafta, lefanav ula charav asur. Any day that was recorded as being prohibited from eulogizing, we would be prohibited from eulogizing the day before and the day afterwards. Dilali itana behon. If it says in Megillas Tanis that this day, because of the victory we had on this day, we don't fast on this day, then lefanav ulacharav mutar, it's a weaker holiday, and one would be permitted to fast the day before the holiday and the day after the holiday as well. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says no, even these lighter holidays, lefanav asur, the day before these holidays would be prohibited from fasting, lacharav, the day after it, would be permitted to fast, mutar, it would be permitted.
What if a big victory had occurred on an already, like a band-aided, institutionalized fast then? Would they then, like, that wouldn't cancel out, like, a fast day that already existed?
Right, correct. Mishnah Tes, Ein gozerin tanit ala tzibur b'techila b'chamishi. Whenever the rabbis have to institute a fast, so we saw the fast days would fluctuate from Monday to Thursday to Monday to Thursday. Well, you don't start on a Thursday, says the Mishnah, shelo le'afkia ha'sharim, so as not to cause the markets to shoot up, because if the sellers see that people are rushing to buy because people are fasting on Thursday, so then they have to buy food to break the fast, and they have to buy food for Shabbos. So people figure, maybe they know something I don't know. Maybe the market's about to rise. Maybe there's a huge shortage on food. Remember, why are we instituting a fast day? Because there's no rain. That's the reason we're discussing in this tractate. So whenever the rabbis have to institute a fast day, they don't begin it on Thursday. If they began on Monday, so everyone knows Monday was a fast day and Thursday is a fast day. So they know people bought more on Monday, people are buying more on Thursday. That's not a reason to panic. That won't make the prices shoot up. Ela shalosh taniyot harishonot sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. We said the first set of fast days, they are Monday, Thursday, Monday. V'shalosh niyot, the second set of fast days, chamishi, sheni v'chamishi. They continue, and they are Thursday, Monday, Thursday. Rabbi Yossi omer, Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi says, kishem shen harishonot v'chamishi, just as you don't begin the first set on a Thursday, even though the second set is a continuation, nonetheless, kach lo shniyot lo achonot, by the same token, you don't begin the second set or the last set on a Thursday, you wait that Thursday and you begin again on a Monday. Mishnah Yud. I think Rabbi Yossi.
Okay. Well, I think he's the other guy that you always have to listen to.
Right, I think so too. En gozerin tanit al hatzibur b'rosh chodesh b'chanukah u'b'purim. This is the question, the reverse of the question you asked a few minutes ago. If we have to institute a fast day, we ensure that it doesn't fall on Rosh Chodesh, Hanukkah, or Purim. Ve'im etchilu, but what if they began Monday, Thursday, and suddenly when the next Monday is about to round the corner, they realize it's going to be Hanukkah or Purim? En mafsikin, then we don't stop the fast day. The fast day will override the Yom Tov. Divrei Rabban Gamliel. This is the opinion of Rabban Gamliel, and we go like him. Amar Rabbi Meir, afalpi shamar Rabban Gamliel en mafsikin. Even though Rabban Gamliel holds, you don't stop the fasts. Modeaya shen mashlimin. He agrees, nonetheless, that when you fast, you don't complete the fast. You break the fast early. By the same token, if Tisha B'Av falls out on a Friday, our calendar is set up in a way that it cannot fall out on a Friday. But in the times that the calendar went by the new moon, by the witnesses, so Tisha B'Av could fall out on a Friday. And then Chazal said, out of respect for Shabbos, you don't finish the fast, but you break the fast before sunset. You fast and you don't complete the fast. So we don't go this way. We conclude that if a fast falls on a Friday, we finish the fast, we daven Maariv, and then we break the fast. Okay, so that brings us to the conclusion of the second chapter. Let's review. What do we see today? What do we see in the second chapter? We saw the order of how the fast days work, that they take out the ark, they put ash on the ark, on the head of the Nasi, the Chief Justice, and everyone puts on their own head. The elder says to them words that should capture their heart, words of rebuke, and he says, remember the people of Nineveh, it wasn't their external actions, but rather their tshuva, what happens in their hearts, that helped them be korea gzal dinam, may help them abolish the decree. When they'd stand up to pray, so they'd send before them, the chazan would be someone who's older, someone who frequents the Tanakh, someone who has children, whose house has no more food, so that his heart is focused on the prayer. And he says 24 blessings in the Shmona Esrei. His Shmona Esrei has an addition of 6 blessings. He says the regular 18, and then he adds Zichronot, Shofarot, Mimamakim, and we saw the different chapters that he adds, and with each chapter he concludes with a request. Whoever answered some great person in the past, Avram, our forefathers on the Yom Tov, the Yoshua, Shmuel, Elio, and then Yonah, and then David, he should answer you, and then he says a blessing at the end of each of these chapters of Tehillim. And those are the additions, the 6 additions to the prayer. There was a story where they tried to do it the way they did it in the temple, where they let the Kohanim specifically blow the shofarot, and they didn't answer Amen, but Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso, and the rabbis didn't approve. And then what we saw today, not yet. Mishnah Vav, we learned about the people who were public servants, be it the people who were the Mishmar, the people who were responsible to be pinch hitters. If they didn't complete the fast, the people who were actually serving in the temple, they didn't fast altogether. Different opinions as to how much each one fasted, depending on which fast. Off of that, we went on a tangent about whether they could drink wine, if they would have to serve that night, the next morning. The Mishnayot we saw today, Mishnah Chet, was about Megillat Ta'anit, the different codes when it says you can't eulogize, when it says you can't fast, it's more lenient. The day afterwards you could fast, the day beforehand there's a machloket. When it says you can't eulogize, so then the day beforehand you can't eulogize, and the day afterwards is a machloket. And then Mishnah Tet taught us that you don't start a fast on a Thursday. Machloket Rabbi Yossi and Tanakama, whether you could continue a fast, the second series, can they continue on a Thursday? And then Mishnah Yud told us that when you make a fast, the rabbis would try to ensure it wouldn't fall out on Rosh Chodesh, Hanukkah, or Purim. But if the series would land on Rosh Chodesh, Hanukkah, or Purim, then you'd keep going, Rabbi Gamliel says. And Rabbi Meir points out that even Rabbi Gamliel would admit that if Tisha B'Av falls out on a Friday, you break the fast before nightfall so that you don't enter Shabbos completely ravenous.